My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia. We are missing Kyle Madsen, who is hanging out in England.
Some street in England right now.
He is. Yeah, he's just wandering the streets. Maybe he's... You know, maybe he's at Buckingham Palace.
Maybe he's next to the guards right now.
I don't know. I'm excited for Kyle. His first time leaving the country. It's good stuff. Jesse, we do have a watch party tonight, so we need to make sure everybody out there in King's Land and even further. Jesse and I and D'Lo and Casey will all be at Tom's Watch Bar tonight at 4:30. For the NCAA championship game between the UConn Huskies and the Purdue Boilermakers.
Yeah, come catch us for that. Tom's is very, it's perfect for sports bars. They got all the TVs right there. I guess I was there for Dolphins Raiders. I was there with actually Marcus Smith, works with the Sacramento Bee, hanging out with him and stuff like that, watching the game, and I'm cheering or whatever. It's full of Raider fans. You realize, Dolphins scored. Maybe I should cheer a little bit less because I'm the only one yelling in here right now.
You don't want to get beat.
Yeah, I want to be nice. I want to be friends with everybody.
You don't want to be the guy who gets thrown out of the bar.
Yes. I just want to cheer for my team. But no, Tom's is fire. Make sure you guys come out with us.
Yeah, I think tonight it's going to be amazing. Like, Tom's is right outside the front door of Golden One Center in the DoCo. And it's a great spot. They have a nice outdoor area. They have a million TVs. I think it's going to be an absolute blast. It's brought to you by Michelob. That is who's sponsoring the event. We'll be out there having a great time. And I implore all of you, if you're driving around, just pop in and join us. Even if it's for 15 minutes, you can buy Jesse a drink. And Jesse can have like 7 drinks at his table at one time. That's acceptable.
Won't finish them though because I have to drive home.
Oh, okay. That's what Uber's for, Jesse.
It's true.
But you got to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
You got to be here tomorrow. You got to be here tomorrow as we...
Shout out Steven, too. I seen him at Tom's Watch Bar as well. My pop-up today, he said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Show up, Chatty House.
Steven Castaneda, he in the Chatty House here, he rolled up to a local restaurant at one point and joined us. That local restaurant decided to bring us all tequila shots. Most of us had to go back to work, so Steven had to take one for the team or take 7 tequila shots for the team. Good for Steven.
Shout out, Steven. He shows up.
Yeah, you do show up, Steven.
Yeah, shout out to everyone that shows up.
Let's get to other people who are showing up. You know who showed up last night, Jesse? The Minnesota Timberwolves.
They kind of really haven't slipped up since Towns was ruled out. I think he's going to be back soon, if I'm not mistaken.
Towns, I believe, was in playing 5-on-5 practice or in some sort of... he's been cleared for contact, and he's back at least partially. We'll see how that works out.
Do not rush him.
Yeah, I would say don't rush him, but also, Jesse, I think a 4-game tune-up to get ready for the playoffs or a 3-game tune-up to get ready, that might help, but he's not a guy who typically stays in great shape when he's not.
Yeah, they've never really said, yeah, he's always relatively healthy.
Yeah, yeah, so this is going to be one of those situations where I think he does need to get back on the court as quickly as possible if he's going to have any impact in the playoffs at all. That's a dangerous team, but they're also a team that that realistically, you know, if they're not 100% healthy, they're not ready to roll in the playoffs, they could have a tough time. And they're fighting for a number one seed. But they did the Kings a tremendous favor last night. And that is they beat the Los Angeles Lakers 127-117. The Lakers had moved above the Kings into the ninth spot.
That was a dark night.
I mean, yes, they had pushed the Kings into the ninth spot. They had moved up into the eighth spot. And for those of you out there who don't understand what that means, very specifically, if you're the ninth spot, you play the 10th spot, and if you somehow win that game, then you go on to play the loser of the 7-8 spot in the play-in tournament. And so in order to get to the playoffs, you have to actually win two games. So you don't want to, you want to be the sixth spot, right? And that if you're
you just want to make it as easy as you can for yourself.
Yeah. If you're the sixth seed, you avoid the play-in tournament completely. If you're the seven, you play the 7-8. And if whoever wins that is now the seventh seed, right? That team who loses, the next team that loses there, they go on to play the 9-10. And so the last thing, if you're a Kings fan, that you want to see is for them to have to host a Golden State Warriors team just to play either a Pelicans team or a Suns team or a Lakers team.
You're scaring me right now. Stop.
Just to get the eighth seed so you can go up against the Denver Nuggets in the first round. None of that is pleasant.
Well, I mean, just the essentially these playing games are just game sevens too. So just the exhaustion of playing the Warriors and that. Boom, we beat them, fellas. Nice. Wait, now we got to play the loser of the 7-A game. Another game seven. We beat them, guys. Cool, we're in the playoffs. Oh, yes. Great. Now we got Denver.
That's not good.
Yeah.
So look, if you're going to be in the play-in tournament, the best option for you is to be the 7 seed. Because if you're the 7 seed, then you're the home team. And you're the home team for both games. Because if you're the 7 seed, you have a better record than both. So also, we've got... as well as the Minnesota Timberwolves beating the Lakers, again, the Kings have now moved back up to, oh boy, what are they? They are the eighth seed. They've moved back up to the eighth seed. They are at 45-33 on the season. The Lakers are at 45-34. So it's one game in the loss column. The Kings would have to lose, 45-34. The Kings would have to lose two games, and the Lakers would have to win out for the Lakers to make it. The Lakers only have three games, though, for the Lakers to be in over the Kings, because the Kings have the tiebreaker over the Lakers. They've beat the Lakers 4-0 on the season. Still, I don't want them in a one-game play-in tournament.
Yeah, you just want no part of a one-game play-in tournament against LeBron James, Steph Curry. It's just it's just those. Those teams need those guys to show up for just for one game. Just get us for one game, and that's what they do. So you want no part of that right now.
Well,
not saying the Kings can't win those games, but just more so, like I said, make it easier on yourselves.
But, Jesse, the officials are involved too, and that's one of those things where...
Yeah, I mean, like, we know how it goes.
We do. We know how it goes. On top of that, the Pelicans beat the Suns, and now the Pelicans and Suns is crazy. So the Kings are at 45-33, like we just said. The Suns and the Pelicans are tied for the sixth spot. The Suns are above the Pelicans in the standings. Dallas has now separated themselves. They're two games ahead of these two teams. So the sixth seed is Phoenix. The seventh seed is New Orleans. They're both exactly one game above the Kings in the standings. And here's where it gets crazy. The Kings play OKC on Tuesday, tomorrow night. Then they play back-to-back the Pelicans and Suns on like Thursday, Friday. And then they finish the season with the Blazers, right? So the Kings, in theory, just people stay with me here. If the Kings win out, they're pretty much in the sixth seed.
That's the thing. It's so funny because you look at the season, it's like the Kings have had opportunity after opportunity. It's right in front of you. Just take care of your business. It's like, we're literally at the last part of the season. Can they do it?
Yes, exactly. So I would actually say, I've got to like fix what I just said. If the Kings win out and the Suns and the Pelicans' only loss is to the Kings, and all three teams tie, so they would tie for 6-7-8, the Kings would actually get the sixth seed. They would have the tiebreaker over Phoenix. Phoenix has a tiebreaker over the Pelicans. The Pelicans have a tiebreaker over the Kings. In this scenario, if they're not division rivals, you first go to division. If they're not division rivals, it goes to conference standings. The Kings cannot be beat in the conference standings by either of those teams. The Kings would jump up to six, and then it would go Phoenix and the Pelicans. So you wouldn't even have to face those guys again. So the Kings, in a way, they can control their own destiny. It's pretty intriguing. Jesse, I'm going to guess. Go ahead.
You take your guess.
I'm going to guess the Kings finish the seventh seed.
Yeah, I think.
Unfortunately.
How much faith can I put into these guys? Like, we've been asking them all year, take care of business, take care of business. It's a point where it's like, they just haven't. I'm along the lines with you. I think they're going to be in the play, and I'm come the end of game, maybe too.
Yeah, I think so too. And the other problem I have is that I don't think the Pelicans are going to lose twice, right? So the Pelicans' remaining games are the Blazers, at the Kings, at the Warriors, and then they host the Lakers. So they could lose one more, for
sure. I could see it right there. I don't think it's too difficult. I could see them losing to the Kings. I could see them losing any two of those three games right there.
Okay. And then the Suns' remaining games, Clippers, at Kings, at T-Wolves. I have a tough time thinking that the Suns are going to win all four. And if the Suns win all four, I don't know. This is going to be tough. It's going to come down to the wire. There is no way to predict exactly what's going to happen here. There's too many variables. I do know that, again, Dallas has kind of taken themselves out of this situation.
Dallas took care of their business.
They did. They've moved up to the five seed, and they're going to be extremely comfortable there. I think it's interesting, though, because all of these three-way ties and you know, strength of schedules left and all that, the Kings are in a dogfight.
In a perfect world, I mean, I look at it, I feel like the Kings are the team most set up to come out of this as top six. Like, if you just take the context out of this season and them not taking care of what they've needed to, you look at it. I mean, I think they can beat the Pelicans and Suns. I think they can take care of OKC. I think the Pelicans will lose some games. Same with the Suns. I could see it all. It's all in the Kings' favor, I think. But it's just how much faith do you have in them to do it, and I don't really have much.
Okay. No, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because there was a lot of good. There was some bad, and there's really one thing that's standing out as ugly that keeps popping up with the Sacramento Kings. We're also going to give away another Jiffy Lube Player of the Game gift certificate for the Boston game. We'll give that away in the next segment. So stay with us here. We are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. I am James. He is Jesse. We'll see you in just a few.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James Hamm. Jesse Tapia is joining me today. We usually call this James and Friends, the week when Kyle is gone. Somebody else had a different name for what we could call this. Was that you, Jesse?
No, it was Soren last week. Called it Ham and Sides.
Ham and Side Dishes.
Yeah, Ham and Side Dishes. Yeah, Ham and Side Dishes.
Ham and Side Dishes. I enjoy that. That's funny.
Yeah, we're calling it Ham and Side Dishes this week. Shout out, Soren.
Ham and Side Dishes. Jesse is our first side dish. If you were a side dish, Jesse, what side dish would you be?
I hate conversations like these, James, but I'll go mashed potatoes. I'm a big mashed potatoes guy.
I think you are mashed potatoes. You're the substance that's gonna carry us through the week.
Yeah, give me some ham and mashed potatoes and we're good.
You know, you can go get all the other stuff, but you're the substance that's going to keep
right
us
there.
Afloat.
I'll take it.
You'll take it. See, Dave Garcia is going a little wild here in the...
I'm like the 1320 utility man. I play left field, right field, center field, catcher a bit.
Are you the Colby Jones?
I might be.
Are you the Colby Jones of ESPN 1320?
I might be. Just let me know what you need.
All right, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly. For good, let's see, what do I have for good? The bench effort. I thought Trey Lyles, Davion Mitchell, Colby Jones were excellent. I thought they were absolutely tremendous. And I think that they were most of this weekend. The New York game, you know, sort of put to the side, but I think the bench unit has been really, really good stepping up with Malik Monk out.
My good is you beat a bad team. I mean, all season it's just been kind of like we don't know what we're going to get from them, whatever, and it's just kind of we can't afford losses like that against teams like this. So you took care of business, and I'll give you props for that. So took care of business against a bad team, especially with what you got coming up, too. You got to win these games.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a good point, man. The Kings have sort of squandered these opportunities throughout the year.
There's no more messes to make at this point.
No. Well, I mean, they don't have any soft spots left. They do.
Well, the last one.
Man, could you imagine if they somehow...
I don't even want to talk about it, James.
They somehow beat OKC on the road. They come home, dramatic back-to-back against the two teams you're competing with. Phoenix Suns, New Orleans Pelicans, who you have not beat all season. Like, you beat them both. You get to Sunday, all you got to do is Blazers, and you're the sixth seed.
That's a game where, you know what, Kings fans, just nobody watches. Everyone close their eyes, and when the game's over, I will let you know if we're happy or we're sad. Just don't even watch.
Just see Scoot Henderson with
just eyes covered the whole time.
With his giant goggles going out there and dropping 45 on you and like, oh, come on.
Polo in the chat, Jeremy Grant and Scoot. No, we're not entertaining this. We're not doing that.
We're not
entertaining that.
Yeah, yeah.
Vibes, only good vibes here.
Wait, Chris Murray says, I'm the real Murray twin.
James, I'm going to have to mute you. You have to stop.
All of this is possible. You know what it is? You know, I was in Portland, Jesse. Kings dropped, 83 or 84 in the first half on the last day of the season. They're going for 40 wins under Dave Yeager. Dave Yeager had other plans. Dave Yeager knew he was not going to be retained the next day. And he pulled the plug on his starters and benched everybody. And a six-man team in Portland came back and beat the Kings. It was like Anthony Simons. It was Scal Labissiere. Caleb Swanigan played in that game. Six players played total for Portland, and they beat the Kings on the last day of the season and the Kings finished with 39 wins.
It's given me just like, Kings lore is not great.
Yeah. I woke up the next morning. I was in a hotel room in Oregon. I went down. I got breakfast. I found this great breakfast spot. I was having, it was like hash with like beets and like, it was just like this incredible breakfast bowl. And I get a phone call and I'm like, oh.
I'll be taking this to go, please.
I know what this call is. And then it was like, okay. And then we have other news. And there were more than just Dave Yeager losing his job that day. And it was like, oh, this is a brutal morning. Yeah, not great, not great. Let's get to the bad. Since we're talking about bad things, let's get to the bad. The Kings scored 13 points in the third quarter, and 9 of those came from Keegan Murray. Like, what in the world are you? You came out against a bad team, and you tried to lay an egg in the second half.
I mean, at least they picked themselves up.
Okay.
I mean, it's just a matter of you learned this from your mistake this time. You learned, all right? I'm not going to fault you. You tried, but you know, you picked it up. You won. I'm not going to be mad at you. You handled your business.
If they learned, they wouldn't have got in that situation again, man. Come on.
Baby steps, James.
Baby steps.
I'm going to go with my bad. De'Aaron Fox is still not shooting well. I know he still played well against Boston, but you look at his numbers since March. I believe he's shooting 44% from the field. I believe 35% from three around there. And you mentioned tired legs earlier. It's just, like I said, kind of concerning because Malik Monk's not there to pick it up. So I'll go with the bad for that.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse, I think that's the other key to somehow getting the sixth spot is that you actually get a couple of days to, like, take a breath.
And yeah, they need it. I mean, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. Sabonis is getting punched in the face every game. Fox is just trying to do what he can offensively just to keep this team afloat. And it's just a matter of these guys need breaks.
No, I totally agree. I think this team fully needs a break. And you have a lot of players who have played nearly every game for the Kings this year. And you know, again, Harrison Barnes and Domantas Sabonis both have played all 80, well, all whatever they're at now, 78, right? They've played 78, but you got Keegan Murray who's played 73. You got De'Aaron Fox who's played 70. Malik Monk had played 72 before getting injured. Even Kevin Huerter before getting injured was a 64. 68 for Davion Mitchell. Like, you got a lot of guys who have a lot of minutes on their bodies right now, and it's not easy. Let's get to the ugly. I think we're in unison.
Yeah, we're teaming up on this one.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes just looks lost. And I like, talk about the wrong time, bro. I'm a guy who understands the value of Harrison Barnes. Right now, like, he's just, you can't have a guy just disappear in the most crucial moment of the season. And it's just so jarring to see against the Knicks. Well, it started with the Clippers. He had 6 points in 25 minutes against the Clippers. But he also only had 2 rebounds and 1 assist. You get to the Knicks game. He had more turnovers than points, rebounds, and assists combined. He had 3 turnovers, 0 points, 0 assists, 1 rebound. You get to the Boston game. Looks a little bit better. 10 points, 5 rebounds, but most of his points came in the fourth quarter as the Kings were trying to claw back in the game. And then you get to this Brooklyn game, man, and...
Do you have any idea what the explanation is for this? Because you figure a vet, and we'll talk Harrison Barnes specifically, because we know what he's been in his career and all. He's just been consistent, whatever, 15 points, however many. He's just always been consistent, I feel like. That's one that you can count on. But I don't know if it's a Sacramento thing or whatever, but he just has these moments where it's just... He completely disappears. It's not even, HB had a bad game. It's like an extreme. Like, he just did not show up today.
Yeah, it feels...
I don't get it.
Like, Jesse, I don't get it either. Like, again, it's not like Harrison Barnes doesn't want to have you know, success. Like, and he wants his team to make it to the playoffs. Like, he's one of the leaders. He wants to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to guess it's a couple of things. Number one, he hasn't sat in, like, 3 years. He's played every single game. I think he's running out of gas late in the season. So, I mean, I'm going to say that that's the one thing. But... the problem is that when you say you're running out of gas, it usually means that you can't hit a shot, right? 2 for 7, 0 for 2, 3 for 9, and 1 for 4. He's not shooting.
That's the thing. It's just he's not involved.
I don't get it.
And I'll say, too, in a moment in time like this where, like, the Kings are trying to make the playoffs or whatever, and, like, you're just in the second year of your, I don't want to call it a rebuild, but just trying to make the playoffs or whatever.
Of a build.
Yeah, second year of a build, like, the Kings, they need guys like Harrison Barnes to kind of help them along the way, like get them, be that little consistency at, towards the end of the season where it's like, all right, we're in these big pressure games, but like, you know what HB's giving us is 15, so we're good there. Like, it's just, I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
He's supposed to be the stabilizing force. And I think that's the most jarring thing. I want to give a hat tip to Mike Brown because we saw this in the Knicks game. Harrison Barnes just, he tried to go back to him late in the game. And the first thing Harrison Barnes did was fumble the ball out of bounds. In this game against Brooklyn, it wasn't working. And he knew that. And in a game where you won by 30, check this stat out. They won by 30. Harrison Barnes ran a negative 15 in 11 minutes.
I'm not a plus minus guy, but I mean, like you said, they won by 30.
But a negative 15 and a 30 point win, that means that you were like 45 points less than, than like what the score was. Like,
that's when we're plus minus maybe did tell you something that night.
But I was going to say, Mike Brown limited him to 11 minutes. And like, look, if it's not working, he's going away from you and he's going to try something different. And, you know, bravo, Mike Brown for like giving someone else a shot here when somebody's struggling.
Mike Brown did give him his opportunities too. Like, this is not the first time he's been struggling. Mike Brown left him in there, but now it's just a matter of, we need something else.
Yeah. Okay, before we jump into break, Jiffy Lube player of the game for the Boston game. We're going to go to ESPN1320.com. Click on the giant Jiffy Lube logo. You're putting your name in for two things. You're putting your name in for a contest for a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube, and we are giving away one more Sacramento Kings jersey before the end of the season here. So put your name in for both. The Jiffy Lube player of the game for Boston was Foxy, F-O-X-Y, Foxy. 40 points for De'Aaron Fox. Try to will his team to victory. They came up short. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we'll have all kinds of things. We'll talk about that Boston game a little bit more. We'll talk about the Kings' defensive identity. We'll welcome in D'Lo or Casey for the handoff. You are listening to The Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This hour of the show is brought to you by...
You are listening to The Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Welcome back in. I'm James Hamm. Joining me, Jesse Tapia. We're in the home stretch of our Monday show. Kyle Madsen is probably at a pub somewhere in England, enjoying his evening.
You think he's listening? You think he's listened once? You think he'll listen at all this week?
Yeah, I think he'll listen. I mean, I don't think he'll come in and like do a part of a show.
Oh, yeah, no, we won't be sending him the link or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, I mean, he probably, maybe he didn't bring his laptop. Huh. Okay, so maybe if he didn't bring his laptop, you do know I like when I go on vacation, typically I do come in still.
Yeah, because your guys' jobs are like, you guys are just 365, I feel like. That's how the IT guys are here, too. Like, the IT guys, I always ask them, like, when you guys go on vacation, like, because, like, we can't just have no IT guys here just because the radio station go down. Like, we need someone to fix it. They take their laptops with them. They take calls on vacation. It's insane to me.
Yeah, I mean, like, last year, I'm going to do the same thing this year. I don't know why it works out this way. We have friends who have timeshares in Mexico, and last year they invited us to go to Puerto Vallarta with them, and so I was there, like, the week... I think I left the day after the draft, which didn't really matter anyways. And then the week leading up to free agency. But like I'm always on. I bring my laptop with me. And, you know, I was able to, like, we're on news from there. Like the Trey Lyles signing.
Does the fam kind of just accept what the job is? Like dad's just going to have to pop on and report some stuff sometimes? Or
yeah, like I wouldn't do a vacation where I was like...
You know, stuff could break and stuff like that.
No, it's not that. Like, as long as I'm somewhere where we're kind of like stationary, right? So you couldn't do like a European vacation and still try to break news and try to, like, you're at the Eiffel Tower and you got to pull out your laptop and start writing.
You imagine bringing to the Kings' next head coach, report from the Eiffel Tower.
Yes, exactly.
That'll be fire.
Exactly. Like, here I am with my family. No, but the family does understand, like, if we're on a trip, like, to Mexico, like, we're sitting around the pool, and that there are times where I'm just going to have to go away. I'm going to have to go up and start writing or start breaking news on Twitter. Or, like I came on last year. I came on with D'Lo and Casey from Puerto Vallarta wearing like a giant sun hat. Which
so it's always nice when you join us from vacation. Fedora Ham did set the tone.
Yeah. Oh, that was New Orleans. That was for the Final Four. And then this, yeah, last year, what do we call it? Sombrero Ham. That's what we had last time. This job does not shut off, and your brain can't shut it off. Once you're in it, like, I don't even know what breaking from this would mean. I would have an identity crisis for at least like a year.
Well, this is the thing. A lot of us, I just work in this field. It's just like, I go home. What am I watching? Whatever basketball game is on or whatever. Like,
I know.
Even if it doesn't have to go do with the Kings or whatever, it's just sports, 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 sports.
Yeah. And now, because, you know, we do the morning show here, like, I have to watch all kinds of stuff at night. Typically, that wouldn't be the case. On a night where there's not a Kings game, I might shut the brain off for a little while and just try to relax. But then, you know, again, like, not only do you have to watch the Kings game, but you got to watch the women's Final Four. I'll be watching the Final Four tonight, you know, the finals tonight. And then on top of that, I had to turn on the Lakers-Minnesota game late. I had to turn on the Stockton Kings playoff game.
We're very basic people, James.
Yeah, it's just like, there's just too much, right? Yeah, yeah. It doesn't shut off. The Kings, it looked like they were going to shut off on Friday night. They played the Boston Celtics in Boston. We talked about this second night of a back-to-back. It's one of the most brutal. It was a scheduling loss.
I think that was an insane way to schedule that little part for the Kings.
Yeah, just brutal. And not only that, but Jesse, the NBA typically doesn't send you 3,000 miles away in the last 2 weeks of the season. Like, what are you doing here?
We always wonder, like, you got to figure, like, the NBA, I don't think, is actively working against teams or whatever, but give a little bit of respect to Sacramento one time when you're creating the schedule.
They don't actively work for teams, though.
That's the thing.
There are certain teams that do get a schedule that makes sense, but again, Phoenix had the most difficult schedule in the league, like, down the stretch. But I would also say that Phoenix's schedule was so difficult because some teams that weren't great last year stepped up and all of a sudden were great. You know, again, you wouldn't have thought that a game against Dallas, who didn't make the playoffs last year, a game against the Clippers, or a game against the Lakers, who were barely hanging on last year, you know, that those aren't that important. But also, like, a Minnesota jumps from like a
play into best team in the league, almost.
Yeah, 7-8 seed to all the way up, and a team like OKC all of a sudden is much tougher. And so you can't really predict that kind of stuff. Even like last year, where the Kings were all of a sudden the third best team in the West.
Maybe have the back-to-back, though, New York, Brooklyn, and then go to Boston after the day rest, you know?
You know, though, Kyle and I talked about this, and we kind of workshopped it, and I actually think it was advantageous, because I believe the Kings stayed in the same hotel in New York the whole time.
Oh, I gotcha.
So they had the game in New York for the Knicks. They flew to Boston, I assume they flew to Boston. But then they flew back to New York that night, went back to their same room. So you just left all your stuff in your room.
Yeah, I guess that helps a little bit.
At least that's what I think. And then they played Brooklyn, you know, 2 days later. But this Celtics game was weird.
It was chaotic. We talked about it. It was chaotic. That last 7-9 minutes, however long Joe Mazzulla left the bench in for that fourth quarter, you're just watching like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
It was a 21-1 run by the Kings. Totally frenetic, totally out of control. Again, Mike Brown decides to go to Colby Jones. So I thought he was waving the white flag. He goes to Colby Jones. All of a sudden they start building. They start picking up momentum. Mike doesn't make a move. He leaves Colby Jones in the game. And I'm like, wow. Like, what is, I mean, and again, Colby Jones had played a minute or 2 minutes or less in the previous three games as, like, you know, the end of a game time, right? And then you start seeing them build and build and build. I thought it showed a couple of things. Number one, that the Kings have a lot of fight left in them. That De'Aaron Fox at 44 minutes and going for 40 has a lot of fight left in him. But also, I just thought it showed you how good the Celtics are and how they can just waste a game if they want to.
Well, that's exactly what it was. Joe Mazzulla after the game was like, yeah, we needed, I don't think he was trying to disrespect, but he's like, yeah, we needed practice for the guys to simulate that environment where it's just frenetic or whatever. And I think kind of flipping that over to the Kings, a game like that just can only help Colby Jones, because I'm sure he's probably gonna, well, is Colby Jones eligible to play in the playoffs? I think we talked about it earlier.
So Colby Jones is on a standard NBA contract.
Okay, yeah. So with the injuries you have now, I'm sure he's probably going to need some minutes come playoff time. I mean, we'll see or whatever, but like just in case he does need that, at least you get some high-pressure moments coming into it. All right, I've been through this a little bit. I mean, it's not the same as playoffs, but it's more so just getting him some run.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't know that Colby Jones will ever like get off the bench at all in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm not saying he will or whatever, but just in case due to the injuries and stuff like that, you might need some minutes here and there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you do have to leave a door open, and you know, who knows? Maybe Colby Jones steals a spot here in the final four games of the season where he's just become such an ingrained part of what you're doing that you can't look away. You know, I think Mike Brown tried to give Kessler Edwards a shot, and Kessler was okay for one or two games. He's been giving Keon Ellis this opportunity, and Keon has been good and then struggled. He's had some struggles. I think when Keon's wide open, he hits everything. But I also think that it's all hands on deck, man. You're looking for lightning in a bottle. You're looking for versatility. You're looking for somebody to step up and say, hey, look, you can't take me out of the game because I'm playing too well. And I think that that's what Colby's provided. It's interesting you asked about the contract situation. So, when, again, there's this new exception that the NBA has for second-round picks, and that new exception, basically, it allows you to sign your second-round picks to a four-year contract. It's the same basic contract of a first-round pick, which is why a lot of teams don't like their late first-round picks. It used to be that if you gave a late first-round pick, you had to guarantee their money for 3 years. Now it's 2 years guaranteed, and then a team option for the third year and a team option for the fourth. The same thing goes for Colby Jones' contract. He has a one-year guarantee for year one, partially guaranteed for year two, and then like very team-friendly for year three and year four. So when you have a player like this, when you put Keon Ellis in the same boat, where you give him these like rookie-scale deals, these low-budget deals, I mean, he's going to cap out at like maybe $2.1, $2.2 million in year four. And you still have full Larry Bird rights to him afterwards. He's still a restricted free agent afterwards. And so Colby Jones is like, again, I used the term last night when, talking about the win, but like manna from heaven. Like this is, you can't get any better than that. If you're going to have a forever $50 million or $40 million Domantas Sabonis or $38 million De'Aaron Fox, if you have these $1 or $2 million guys, you're basically saving that much in a roster spot. I mean, they're literally minimum roster spots that you're being able to hold with guys who are impacting wins and losses.
Well, yeah, you bring those stars like that, you're just gonna have to find guys who are kind of not rough around the edges, I think, but just more so guys who aren't as polished that, hey, we need some impact right here for this amount of money.
Yeah, and Jesse, it's why your G League means so much. It's like you have got to be able to churn these guys out. And you've got to always, second round picks, unrestricted free agents, all that stuff on draft night. You've got to keep finding more and more of these guys. The Kings have put time and effort into a guy like Kessler Edwards, hoping that he develops into one of those guys. But also, a guy like Keon that they undrafted, gave him a two-way contract on draft night. But those two-way contracts, they could cut him anytime and just walk away and sign another two-way guy. But Keon worked his way up, and the next thing you know, this season, that's another distinction we should make. Keon Ellis was on a two-way contract, and two-way contracts are not eligible for the playoffs. So, like, Keon Ellis could be your starting shooting guard all the way through the second half of the season with Kevin Huerter out, and you get to the playoffs. And if the Kings had not converted him to a standard contract right after the trade deadline, he would not have been eligible for the playoffs. Now he is eligible, and you got him locked up for another 2 years at like bottom basement price. You might have a starting backcourt that's paid like $43 million, and $41 million of that is one player.
Well, yeah, because you look at the best teams in the league too. I feel like each team has just a couple of those guys where it's like, we're not paying this dude a lot of money, but he comes in every night and he's making an impact at least.
Yeah, you
just
have to have
paying the Jokic's, the Tatum's, or whoever else.
Financially, you have to have those players,
yeah,
but
you
also
have to.
You need these players that come in and give you something that's different, right? And that's why I think Keon Ellis, like, he gives you something that's very different than what you had before. But he's also sort of a guy who just fits. He just fits in. And
well, he's kind of connected the defense too, I feel like, because we had it on the rundown, their defensive identity, if they found it. Like, I feel like since he's came in, it's just kind of like the term of, I feel like the last few years is kind of working on a string or whatever. Like, now they're kind of doing that. Like, he's kind of been that missing puzzle piece for them defensively.
It's kind of crazy how one player can impact your defense so much, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Kings defense is, on the season, I was just looking this up, they're tied for 15th with the Golden State Warriors. They're only 0.1 behind the Lakers for 14th overall in defense. And that's defensive rating on the entire season. Offensive rating, it's not great. Right, their offense is 13th, which isn't where you expected it, but since the All-Star break, the Kings have just, and again, we'll credit a lot of this to Keon Ellis. It looks like we're gonna have Damian join us here in a minute, but he's over there trying to fight with a computer. Yeah, you got it. Since the All-Star break, the Kings are 9th in defensive rating at 111.1. And when you consider, you know, again, the Boston Celtics at 110.2, and you're only 0.9 worse defensively than the Boston Celtics.
I'd call that good, James.
I would call that good as well. Let's get Damian in the middle.
The fight is over. I have won.
You have won.
I have defeated the computer.
You have defeated the evil computer. I had issues this morning. I'm like, oh, this computer doesn't recognize me anymore. It's like, who are you?
That's what just happened with me. Because I'm used to logging in over there. Now I'm logging in Casey's spot. Yeah, it's all a mess. Damn, Kyle Mattson just
up dude just takes a vacation, just all willy nilly.
Just goes and leaves for Europe, and leaves us to fend for ourselves in the midst of a playoff race.
Damn it, Kyle. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. Good. Yeah.
You ready for this? Ready for this watch party?
Yeah, man. It'll be a fun time tonight at Tom's Watch Bar. Really looking forward to it. I've never been there.
Oh, really?
So I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to finally hang out. They're gonna have a nice little area set up for us. The Michelob Ultra is gonna be flowing. It's gonna be a good evening, man. Purdue and UConn, man. It'll be fun.
Who are you pulling for?
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, I'll watch for fun. UConn, I mean the UConn, both programs, but really the men's program, just, you know, their ability to constantly retool and get young men to go play there in the Northeast is pretty extraordinary to me. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to it for sure.
I think I'm gonna go Zach Eady. I want Zach Eady to take a dub.
Okay.
Well, I need Purdue.
Yeah, Ham needs this.
For a pool.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, there you go. Then I'll root for Purdue. That's fine.
Yeah, me and my guy Sean Cunningham have an opportunity here.
Okay. Okay.
We need Purdue.
Well, I'm all about family coming up. So
we're all gonna be at Tom's Watch Bar hanging on every Purdue basket.
like who knew? Like Zach Eady, he's tall.
Somebody walks in. Who the hell invited all these Purdue fans? Where do they come from?
1320 is big Purdue guys here. Big Boilermakers.
That's right. We've been talking a lot about Colby Jones. How shocked are you that Colby Jones just like dropped from the sky and played 23 minutes?
Yeah, it was. It's one of those. I think there's. I've said this all year. Mike's funny, man. I put that on a T-shirt. Like, Mike is funny. And I don't know if last night was one of those things where he kind of knew what the game was and he trusted his guys. Because Kobe, it's not like Kobe didn't come in late. Like, Kobe was in the rotation. Like, he came in early in the game.
First quarter.
Yeah, and the game was far from out of control. Like, it was still relatively close at the time. And I was, okay, Colby Jones is going out there, okay. All right, I think Mike's got confidence in this game, and then I thought maybe Mike is looking for something, and that's where, you know, I get hung up on with the Kings right now is you go back to, you know, the New York game was kind of one thing, it's whatever, but you go back to that Celtics game, and you know, you wonder, is that just one of those games where no Malik and no Herter is too much to overcome, and maybe Mike is looking for something. You know, he found something in Keon while he was searching. Maybe he's looking for something in Colby Jones. Harrison has picked a terrible time to have a bad stretch. You know, he's picked a terrible time to revert back to where he was the first 41 games of the season. And the Kings can't afford that. The Kings have, what do we have, 4 games left, 1 on the road, 3 at home?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much have to win all of them. Like, if we're talking about a guaranteed 6th spot, you pretty much have to win all of them or get a lot of help along the way. And they need to play you know, to beat these teams, including Oklahoma City tomorrow, and then you got the New Orleans and then Phoenix and all that, you got to play damn near perfect to get those. And maybe he's just finding someone who can help them do that.
Well, you mentioned Mike Brown's search. And like, I feel like this team is kind of like they won yesterday. Like, they're kind of just hanging on right now. Like, mm-hmm. They can't afford anything else to go wrong, because if it does, they're just cooked.
Yeah, that's facts.
And like with Harrison Barnes, like he's kind of just missing. So at this point, it's like Mike Brown's going to be like, all right, Colby, then you're the guy then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm intrigued too, because when a player shows you who they are, like, you should believe them. And the Kings kind of doubled down on this roster when they had a couple of guys show them who they were in very, very difficult moments. And you should have believed them. And I think that that's something that needs to be addressed this offseason. Like, you can have a guy like Harrison Barnes be on the team. You can have a guy like Kevin Huerter be on the team. You might not be able to have two of them that are prone in big situations to not be their best. And that's tough. Like, if you're a team who has aspirations of greatness, and you have two great players and you're trying to push for something, like, everybody needs to kick in.
Yeah.
Like, this is one of those, it's like you're on a road trip or it's the plot of Stand By Me. Like, you get all the way out in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, who brought food? And Verno brought a comb. You know, that's Harrison Barnes. Like,
I haven't seen that movie since probably 87, so I'm going to trust
you. I've not seen that movie. I'll take your word on it, James.
They're pulling all their money, and they're like, hey, we're going to run to the grocery store and grab some dinner so we have some food tonight. And they come up with like $2.34, and they're like, what do you got, Verno? He's like, oh, I brought a comb. It's like, bro, you don't even have hair.
There's a very young River Phoenix and Jerry O'Connell in this movie.
Yes,
River
Phoenix Jerry O'Connell. Is
Joaquin's brother, right?
That's correct.
It's like, man, like, that's what I kind of feel like at this moment. You're like, where'd you go? Like, what do you got for us? Like, oh, I got a comb.
Harrison brought a comb.
It's like, you don't even have hair. Like, what are we doing?
I know Harrison ain't bring a jumper. He ain't bringing his aggressiveness.
That's the thing, too.
He had it, it's gone.
I could live with you going 5 of 15, Harrison.
Yeah, right.
0 of 2, right, 0 of 4, right. 1 of 4, like that.
2 of 7.
Yeah, why are we back at that? I thought we had gotten away from that. Like, why are we back there? For 41 games you did that, and then it abruptly stopped. And you like, emerged out of the darkness, like The Undertaker did last night. And then nothing. Back to nothing.
All right, we're out of time. Make sure to join us tonight at Tom's Watch Bar.
Yeah,
it's
man.
A Michelob Extra evening with D-Lo, Casey, Jesse, and James. We'll all be out there. Hang out with us. What do you guys got coming up? 2 seconds.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot of Kings basketball. And, of course, baby, we'll recap WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
Come on, man. Cinema.
Let's go, baby. Cinema. James, stick around for WrestleMania talk.
That's right. All right, thanks for tuning in to the Insiders here on ESPN 1320. D-Lo and Casey will be back in just a few minutes. See you tomorrow.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.